Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for us comes from Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest, until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as you go through life, there are those wonderful chance meetings that have great impact upon us. You had that moment where you met your spouse for the very first time. You met that person who gave you a new insight. Or maybe you met a new person who, by their witness, moved you to change the direction in which your life was going. And then you're left wondering, when will we get to meet them again? You know, in our gospel reading for this morning, we come to the ascension of our Lord. You know, think of what has happened here. Think back 40 plus days earlier, where Jesus is suffering and dying upon the cross, where he breathes out his last words, "It is finished." And whereas John records following, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is then that we see a soldier pierce his side with a spear, blood and water pour forth from his side, fully signifying and showing us completely that Jesus had died. His body is taken down from the cross, quickly wrapped in linen, spices, and laid in a tomb that was not his own. And his followers must have been wondering, when will we get to see him ever again? But as we well know, thanks be to God, that come 3 days later, that first Easter Sunday, Jesus steps forth from the tomb, alive, resurrected, conquering death and the grave, rising victorious, having defeated not only death for himself, but for you and for me. Now listen about that time between his crucifixion and his ascension, between his resurrection, as we get to see this wonderful time where he is with his followers, showing to them that he has risen from the dead, that he is alive, that he has conquered death in the grave, and thus stating for all believers a new reality, the truth that you shall live with Jesus Christ forever. And we come to this day, the day of ascension. Those 40 days between then must have been amazing, wondrous, inspiring, where people got to meet with the Lord, hear his teachings one last time before he ascends. And they must have been wondering, when will we get to see him again? What joy awaits for us in his return? You know, Jesus, he brought teachings and blessings whenever he had those appearances. And people rejoiced at the time they had to have with him. And now Jesus returns to his Father. And those who are there, the disciples, must have been thinking, when will we see him again? This leaving's a little different, they must be thinking. But as you and I read throughout the Holy Scriptures, we read that Jesus didn't return bodily ever again on earth. But as you and I well know, Jesus didn't leave them without his presence. He didn't leave them without being a part of their lives. I mean, Jesus promised that he would not leave them as orphans in this world. You see, at his ascension, he gave them an assignment to carry out. One that occupies not only their time, their talents, but their treasure. And it's one, this assignment has ramifications, not just then, but for you and me still today. For you are the recipients of their work. You are those who have heard the proclamation that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And that very proclamation has come to you. And you hear it. And you've heard of the need of repentance and forgiveness through this Lord, Jesus Christ. See, there's times where we have those occasions in our life where we're wondering, where is Jesus for us? See, just as you witness this ascension, you might be left wondering, when will Jesus meet with us next? See, in reality, that we go through this life where problems, challenges, issues arise and make us doubt his return, that make us want to doubt the resurrection, doubt the promises that he gave, and doubt he'll ever come back and take care of us. It makes us wonder if God will come and meet with us, care for us. It makes us wonder, where on earth is this Jesus of promise? And will he come to my aid? You and I are called to repent and recognize there is much that we need to repent for, but also that we get to know the reconciling peace with God. You see, through our own efforts, there is no ability on our behalf to make us reconcile with God. There's no power that we have to where we can have our own peace with God on our terms. This is why the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness in the name of Christ is so vitally important. This very proclamation of repentance and forgiveness has been given to the church by Christ. Yes, you, the church, have the responsibility to proclaim his word, to be the body that proclaims repentance and the forgiveness, which shows forth the merciful Christ in what you say and in what you do. For that is the message that our Lord wants his people to hear and to know. You see, those who returned to Jerusalem that day of ascension wondered when they were going to see Jesus once more. See, they met together and recall the gifts that he has given to them. They recall the time that he had with them. And recall that they were still to wait for his next gift. But Jesus did not come there to meet with them. Instead, he came to them through the breaking of bread. He came to them and joined them through the waters of baptism. He came to them through the word. See, Jesus was present with them, for he came to them in the means of grace. And that is still the same, and that is true today for you and for me. See, you and I don't have to wonder where Jesus is. You and I don't have to go searching for him. You don't ever have to wonder if he is present here or not. If he is here to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, we don't ever have to wonder. But why? See, Jesus, although it's not up here today for this service, he comes to us through his supper, through his body and blood. He meets with us. He meets us in the waters of holy baptism, where you and I are baptized into his death and into his resurrection, where he grants us a new life. Yes, Christ meets with you. Even through the word of God, the Lord meets with you as he who is the word made flesh gives to you himself and through his word. As Christians, our life is tied to Christ, for he gives us the words of eternal life. And that life, that true life, is only given by him. And as means of grace, the Lord comes and meets with you. And when he meets with you, he brings you his gifts. He gives you his life. He gives you forgiveness of your sins. He brings you his peace. He gives you his promises. He gives us that glorious freedom, that freedom that we get to live and express him and share him in this world. He meets you here in the world today, that you may know this God and Lord, and to do so with great and abundant joy. But as you and I are well aware, unfortunately, many people have not yet met him. Not many people know Christ as their Lord and their gracious Savior. See, you are blessed to know the forgiveness of sins. You are blessed to know who Christ is. You are blessed to know what He has done, all things necessary for your salvation. You are blessed through Him. You are blessed to know that we have a home waiting for us, that we get to look forward to. One where we get to be with Christ forever and ever. You know this Lord, and you are the church that has been given this Ascension Day assignment to have people meet with Christ, that they would have the same joy, the same blessing of knowing Him just as you do, where they get to hear that He comes to forgive, that He comes to aid and to strengthen them and to bring them a life of hope and peace, one that this world can never give. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a monumental but a vitally necessary task. You have the immense joy of knowing that you have partners in this work. See, our LWML works to carry the gospel to those who do not yet know it. And they're involved in so many different ways. In so many ways, the world over. The LWML are the ones who bring blankets and clothing to those in need. The ones who put forth mites so that people in different areas of our country are able to purchase food, especially in these disaster areas. The ability to purchase necessary items for living. They're the ones on your behalf, making sure that people around the world have access to the Word of God. They're the ones who are taking your donations of clothing, toiletry items, blankets, everything that they have collected, and sharing it amongst our own community here in Park Rapids. They are the very ones who become for you in numerous places, the very heart and hands of the compassionate, merciful Lord who saves, who meets people where they are and grants them life. You have the joy of an amazing partnership in the gospel as you give your treasures, your time, and your talents. See, they support, encourage, and uplift missionaries around the globe and places of compassion, spreading for you the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. And through their efforts, their commitment, their joy in service, your gifts, your donations, the funds that you raise touch so many lives, so many people. That is truly an amazing impact upon this world and upon our own community. What a tremendous heart, hands, and voice are yours as they partake, as they partner with you in the gospel. And yes, through these efforts, you aid people in meeting the Lord. Here it is, a gracious meeting that they have with those who know who He is, and that He continues to meet with people through His church. Here, where God's people gather for the joy of knowing repentance and forgiveness in His name. So we wonder, where is our Lord? He is here in the heart and hands and voice of His people. He is there in the LWML that they, in their efforts, may reach others with a message of repentance and forgiveness in His name. The Lord is where His word is proclaimed and His sacraments are rightly administered in His name. Yes, you are blessed, for the Lord continues to meet with his people, to meet with you, and you have forgiveness in life, thanks to him. How blessed and enriched you truly are. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.